During the worship, Mick read through Revelation 4 already. We'll read through the first part of it. We're not going to cover Revelation chapter 4 in entirety today. In fact, Revelation 4 and 5, they're kind of a unit. They go together. I think we'll be looking at them for a couple of weeks. I think you could make a case that these are the most important chapters in the Bible for the Christian, at least in the book of Revelation. There's a sense in which the first three chapters have led up to this. Everything that's going to follow flows down from this, the very throne room of God. Let's read the first few verses again. Chapter 4, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper or a diamond, and a sardin or a ruby stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." So John's invited up to heaven. He sees the throne. He's not the first human being to see the throne. Isaiah saw the throne, and Isaiah's understanding of what he saw was fairly similar to this. He saw the creatures with their wings that Mick read about. Daniel saw a vision of the throne. Paul, the apostle, saw a vision of the throne. But what Paul saw and heard, he wouldn't describe. Paul heard things, he said, it's not lawful. I could never describe the things that I heard when I was in heaven. So we'll have to wait. There's a future surprise for whatever it was Paul heard. Things that are said that human vocabulary cannot even justifiably describe or approach. But John obviously is brought up into heaven here. He gets a vision of the throne. And the focus of our time today is going to be the reality of the throne. It's a real place. This is a real event. It's something that really exists this day, right now. Now, John is catapulted a bit into the future. The end of verse 1, the Lord says, you're going to see the things that are hereafter. So there's a sense in which we want to study this, because when we arrive in heaven before the throne, we don't want to act like idiots. Yeah, we don't want to go, what? It's time to do what? When I was, I think about 20, I was visiting with a friend of mine, a Catholic church. I've never been to a Catholic church. And I did not understand this kneeling and standing and standing and kneeling and going. I mean, I just felt so awkward, because I would be standing and everyone else is kneeling, and I'd still be kneeling and trying to pray. And then everyone else was standing, and I just knew it's like everyone's going, look at him, you know. Well, you don't want to be that person in heaven. You know, everyone's worshiping and go, look at Jeff. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But you want to know the procedure. You know, you got your study manual here. And so we're going to be enjoying this. And like Chuck says, when you get to heaven, you don't want people to look at you and go, well, he obviously has never studied this. We're going to study this, so we'll know what to do. But also, take note. This is God on the throne, not today, but in other studies. We will, maybe next week, I'm not sure, we're going to look at the various thrones that are in the scripture. There are several. Several come into play here in the book of Revelation. This is one. To fully understand what's happening, we have to understand another throne that's coming into play. We want to be before this throne, but at the end of the book of Revelation, there is another throne, isn't there? The great white throne. You do not want to appear before that throne. That's a throne that appears when heaven and earth have passed away. So we'll look at that throne at another time. This throne in heaven is one that we do want to appear before one day. And I believe one of the great keys to the Christian life is understanding that we can come before this throne in reality and in truth and in the spirit anytime we choose. So we're only going to cover a few verses, I believe, but obviously, as it begins in verse 1, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So when you picture this, I don't know why I always picture a door. When I picture a door, I picture a closed door. It's an open door. But notice it's not the door, which is what we might expect. There was one door in the ark. You would think there would be one door to heaven. There's not. It says there was a door because there is at least, and I presume only, one other door. There's two ways to get into heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven. Not catapulted, not slingshot. He ascended. Time to go. After his death, resurrection, speaking to the disciples, paying the debt of our... He ascended. And he appeared before God the Father, before the throne of God, in and of his own virtuous, perfectly righteous, perfectly holy character. In fact, he said to the church, John chapter 16, as far as preaching the gospel, he says, when you're going out, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of righteousness. Because he said, I go to the Father. And what he meant by that is the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to the world through the gospel what God's standard of righteousness is. What does it mean to be good? Does it mean to be better than your neighbor? That's the common, average, everyday American way of looking at heaven and whatnot. Kind of a bell curve. Remember the bell curve in school? Is I do more good. I'm a good person. Good based on what? Well, based on him. Based on them. Based on Attica State, you know, based on San Quentin. It's amazing when someone says they're good, you know, you can look at that bell curve. They'll always place themselves just to the good side of the peak of the bell curve. They're on the good side, maybe just barely. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to show, convict the world of righteousness. What is righteousness in God's sight? Well, he explains it in the next phrase, because I go to the Father. This is how righteous you have to be. As righteous as I am. How righteous was Jesus Christ? In one simple word, perfect. Perfectly holy. Perfect witness. Perfectly glorifying God. Perfectly selfless. Perfectly loving. The law, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what he did. Love God. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. He perfectly loved us. If I were going to hell, if I were going to spend eternity damned away from the presence of God, tormented in flames, if I were in that situation, I would sure like it if someone would rescue me. He loved us. As if he were in our situation, he was willing to pay the price so that we would not suffer the judgment of God. Perfect. And because of that, he had a righteousness in thought, in word, and in deed that could appear before God. Perfect. That's one door. It's perfection. You can put over that door perfection. Door number one, perfection. If you've ever sinned, you ever thought a wrong thing, said a bad thing, done a wrong thing, you're not perfect. And that door is no longer qualifying for you. However, there's another door in heaven. Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the door. And the door that is opened in heaven is the door that Jesus Christ himself has brought us to through faith in him. Heaven is opened up. That's one of the great messages here. Heaven is opened up, not just to John, although it's uniquely opened up to John here. It is opened up to all mankind. And all one needs in order to go into the door is to repent. Stop going away from the door. Stop running away from God and running away from, repent, turn, and have faith. Believe in Jesus Christ, that he paid for your sins, that through receiving him as your Savior, acknowledging what he's done, your sins are washed, your sins are forgiven, and the door's open to you, and you can go to the Father. But I'm not a good person, or I don't have much.